Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Grew up with some or perhaps all of the following. Are you ready? What? Some are already raising their hands. Okay, well, I'll skip ahead to page. But I'm going to go through them anyways. Okay. All right, some or all of the following. God revealed the scriptures ages ago. They're done. No more need to visit any of that. And it's all we need to know or we'll ever need to know. Revelations are only for prophets of old. Maybe the Catholic Pope, maybe the Mormon prophet, but no more revelations for the most part. There are rules. You will follow them or you will be excommunicated. No asking hard questions lest you be kicked out of Sunday school. Okay, got some hands on that one. Okay. All right. Sorry, but all you lay folks need us clergy to act as your intermediaries between you and God. Please tell me you don't accept that one. Okay. And there is only one right religion, and it is ours. Okay, I'm hitting some notes here. All right. Well, all of that is dogma. The rather arrogant assertion of doctrine to the point of claiming authority to tell other people, this is what you shall think, believe, and how you shall conduct your lives. Amen. Well, what I want to clear up this week, what we want to explore this week, is how Centers for Spiritual Living is quite different. We're not dogmatic. We're not going to tell you how to live your life. We're much more about spiritual freedom and how to live, or encouraging us how to live our best lives rooted in that spiritual freedom. You know, Centers for Spiritual Living, we do steer clear of dogma. We're not going to tell anybody how you should live your life, such as who you can and cannot love, or who you can and cannot marry, what you're supposed to dress like because you were assigned a certain sex at birth, or any of that kind of stuff. We don't do any of that. No one's going to examine you or question you to make sure you're following the rules that we don't even have. We do have Declaration of Principles, more commonly referred to as the We Believe statements, and I've been using quite a few of them throughout the month, and I'll be using a couple of them today. But these Declaration of Principles are not rules. If you read them, and you can find them online at csl.org, or if you get the Science of Mind magazine, they're in there. And if you read them, you'll notice none of them are about what is right and wrong as far as how to live your life. All of them are about universal spiritual principles that we believe to represent the truth of all spiritual paths. None of them are rules. They are what we believe to be the truth as revealed from all the world's faith paths about God, creation, and our relationship with it all. And they're meant to lift us up, not hold us down. You know, if you think about it, in a way, dogma actually reveals an insecurity about one is claiming is the truth, about their assertions. And the more doubt we have about something, the more we cling to it in a dogmatic fashion. Robert M. Persig wrote, "When people are fanatically dedicated to political or religious faiths or any other kinds of dogmas or goals, it's always because these dogmas or goals are in doubt." Well, as a Center for Spiritual Living, where we teach the science of mind, we're willing to have what we teach put to the test. We encourage people, listen to what we teach, take it into your life, try it out, see if it rings true for you, see if it helps you improve your life. And we actually encourage questions. In fact, it was one of the things I loved the most when I was first introduced to Centers for Spiritual Living. I remember thinking, well, this is pretty cool. I don't have to check my brain at the door. You know, our founder, Ernest Holmes, warned us against dogma when he said years ago, we must remain open at the top. What he meant was we must remain open at the top as a movement and as individuals for new revelations, new insights, new wisdom, so we can continue to grow and learn as a movement and as individuals. And he wrote in Living the Science of Mind, "Truth cannot belong to any individual, and there can be no religion higher than the truth. A world built on dogma alone would be arbitrary. Surely any religion which holds that the final truth has been delivered, once and for all, to its own group must contain a large amount of superstition, and thereby prohibits the further evolution of the human mind." As a center for spiritual living, all of our centers for spiritual living, we're interested in truth, whenever, wherever, or to whomever it might be revealed. Even our beginnings, if you look at it, reveal this. I just mentioned that our Declaration of Principles are built on this common thread of truth that weaves through all the religions. Well, we synthesized that. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, was a great scholar. He studied many, many, many faith traditions, some of which I've never even heard of. And he found this golden thread of truth winding through them. And so even our beginnings are rooted in the idea there is no one right religion. All paths lead to God. All paths have some truth in them. And we continue that today. We're open to new insights of science, psychology, philosophy. In other words, we will not place a period where God has placed a comma. Okay. We do not place a period where God has placed a comma. God continues to speak to us. God speaks to us through science and religion. The two are not adversaries. Pearl S. Buck said, "Science and religion, religion and science, put it as I may, they are two sides of the same glass through which we see darkly until these two focusing together reveal the truth." and in our homes. The thought of the ages has looked to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. In other words, both science and religion are looking to understand the universe, where it came from, how it came to be, how it works, and our relationship with it. These two avenues to seeking wisdom and finding wisdom are not adversarial to each other. In the past, churches would persecute those who pretended that science had something to say that wasn't in their scripture, those who taught that the earth is round or that the earth revolves around the sun and not the other way around, or even taught human evolution were persecuted. But Ralph Waldo Emerson stated, "The religion that is afraid of science dishonors God and commits suicide." So, Centers for Spiritual Living, we are not afraid of science. In fact, those of you who have been around long enough know that we used to be called religious science. We actually put the two words together. We stopped doing that because we got confused with some other faith movements, and we got tired of explaining that we're not them. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but we're not them. But here is a Center for Spiritual Living, because we're not afraid of science, we're not afraid to adopt what science has to tell us. In fact, we not only accept them, but we celebrate some of them, such as the fact that race itself is a human construct and not at all based in biology. Race is something we made up to separate people. There is one human race. We also aren't afraid of scientific insight that sex and gender are not binary, they exist on a spectrum. You know, many Native American peoples, before Christian missionaries came, had five genders. What we consider straight cis males, straight cis women, gay men, gay lesbians, and the two-spirited people that we would now probably call transgendered. So they recognized this. God speaks through science and religion, and God speaks through all humans throughout all ages. From our Declaration of Principles, we believe in the direct revelation of truth through our intuitive and spiritual nature, and that anyone may become a revealer of truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God. Revelation is not just for a chosen few. All of us, all of you, have access to revelation and insights and truth. And you don't need me to tell you what God has to say to you. We all have that access. So no dogma, open at the top. And what does this do for us? It frees us to explore truth. So I'm going to rely heavily for the next few moments on Ralph Waldo Emerson, because he is the most courageous person I've ever seen when it's come to calling out the dangers of dogma. Emerson was an ordained Unitarian minister, the son of a Unitarian minister, and after just 3 years, he left ministry because of its dogma. Perhaps his most courageous statement against dogma and a dogmatic church and the dangers of it and how it suppresses people came in 1838, when he was invited to give the keynote address to the graduating class of Harvard's Divinity College. In other words, he was speaking to a room full of well-established ministers and brand new ministers. And this speech he gave, which I'm going to share about in just a moment, got him banned from Harvard for 30 years. Because he dared to call out the harm they were doing. What Emerson told these new ministers in front of their teachers and their elders was, don't rely on what your elders tell you about God. Have your own experience of God. There's nothing wrong with studying what the elders have to say. There's nothing wrong with studying Scripture. Absolutely do that. But then have your own experience of God. Remember who you are and preach from that. Because your preaching means nothing to the people who are listening to you if you are only telling them something you read. They want to know you have lived it. And when you do this, you will remind the people of their own inherent divinity and dignity. And he also told these new ministers, don't listen to what our church elders tell us about Jesus. That's probably the part that got him banned, now that I think about it. Because what the church was teaching, Emerson said, was actually contrary to what Jesus said. The church wants you to believe that only Jesus was divine, that only Jesus was the beloved child of God. But they're forgetting the part where Jesus taught that all people are beloved, divine children of God, and that all people have the kingdom of God within. Yay. He said in his courageous keynote address, the stationariness of religion, the assumption that the age of inspiration is past, that the Bible is closed, that the fear of degrading the character of Jesus by representing him as a man indicate with sufficient clearness the falsehood of our theology. It is the office of a true teacher to show us that God is, not was, that God speaketh, not spake. The true Christianity, a faith like Jesus's in the infinitude of man, is lost. None believeth in the soul of man, but only in some man or person old and departed. Banned for 30 years. Those words, I'm sure, would still get him banned somewhere. He also wrote in his essay, The Oversoul, when we have broken our God of tradition and ceased from our God of rhetoric, then may God fire the heart with his presence. And when you see this written, you'll notice that the God of tradition and the God of rhetoric, he wrote with the lowercase g. But the God that fires the heart, he wrote with an uppercase g. The small God of dogma is of no value to us. The big God that we experience, that's the God that enlivens us. So when we are free of a dogmatic God and free of those notions that we already put to rest this month of sin and evil and hell, we're free to experience God. We're free to experience truth in our lives. A God that we can relate to. We're free to explore and grow and evolve. You know, we're each on our own spiritual path, and we're each progressing as we need to and at our own pace. And we're all making progress, I have no doubt. Whether if you want to come here on a Sunday morning and then Friday, go to synagogue or mosque, we have no problem with that. If you want to come here on Sunday morning and then during the week or right after this service or any other time, you want to go hug a tree? Hug a tree. If you want to sit on the beach for hours and look at the immense ocean and have it remind you of how we're connected to the peoples all over the globe, then do that. As many of you know, I have participated in sweat lodges, in sun dances, and many Lakota ceremonies. And I can still be here with you on Sunday. The same is true for all of us. We all have the right to explore our spiritual paths and to grow. You know, even what we teach, Science of Mind, I often like to say it's like a buffet. You know, you might, when you're first here, you might want to just pick a little this and a little that and go, okay, that's enough for now, you know. I like this, I'm not too crazy about that. You know, that's okay, we get it. You want to come back later for seconds and experiment a little more, learn a little more, that's okay, we encourage that. You can take what feels right at your own pace. Now, we do believe that what we teach is worth knowing and can improve your lives, your life, not the life we're telling you to live. Our classes and workshops and spiritual practices don't tell you how to live your life. We do believe that they can teach you how to live your best life, which is why we teach. Actually, we started as a teaching institute, not as an organized church. We actually started as a teaching institute with the idea that no matter what faith path you're part of, you can use what we teach as a supplement to it. The problem with that was people who tried that, their churches weren't crazy about that. Part of that dogma, right? So it was one of the reasons we ended up organizing formally as a religious nonprofit ourselves. But once we're free to do all this, we're also free to just be who we are, right? We're free to be the unique, fabulous, magnificent expression of the one that God made us to be. Another one of our Declaration of Principles, we believe that everyone is an individualization of the one spirit, a unique representation of the one, which is why we don't exclude anyone from our communities. It's also why we don't exclude anyone from God's good. We accept all peoples. We open our doors to everyone, no matter your religious or spiritual affiliation, no matter your sexual orientation, gender expression, or gender identity, no matter your ethnicity or nationality, no matter what mistakes you've made or what mistakes you might make, no matter your immigration status, no matter what path led you here? We accept all peoples. Again, from Emerson, you know, he was such a great believer in the immense potential of every individual human being that he wrote in his essay, Self-Reliance, that if we truly understood how magnificent every person could be if they could live to their potential, we would stand in awe of each other, he said, so much so that it would make our knees bend. And that the only right way to live your life is according to your indwelling spirit. And the only wrong way to live your life is to not live in accordance with your indwelling spirit. You know, when we do this, when we can listen and live from our unique indwelling spirit, that's when we gain our ultimate freedom. And when we do this, we free others to do the same. We're a living example for others. And we also recognize their magnificence to the point where we will stand in awe and it will make our knees bend. Centers for Spiritual Living as a global organization has the vision, a world that works for everyone. And they expand on that to include several kind of subcomponents. And one of them is this. We envision humanity awakening to its spiritual magnificence and discovering the creative power of thought, a world where each and every person discovers their own personal power and ability to create an individual life that works within a world that works for everyone. So I ask you to take a moment and imagine what the world would be like every single human being was free to live their full expression. Imagine that world where everyone is self-actualized, a world in which all of God's diversity and strength and peace and wisdom and beauty and abundance is expressed in all its glory. That's a world I want to live in, right?
Yes.
We don't get there by being dogmatic. We get to that world by honoring every human being's God-given right, God-given freedom to be just the way God made them.
Yeah. Yes.
Just the way God made them to be and to live their best life. We get there by every one of you, every one of us, living as God intended you to be and living your best life. No dogma, only freedom. Thank you. All right. Now we get to pray together. I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand with me and hold this prayer in their consciousness as well. Oh, man. God is great. That's what I'm feeling in my bones in this moment. God, life, spirit is great. Actually, life is greater than anything we have seen or can imagine because it is immanent and transcendent. It is infinite. There's always more and more and more. It cannot run out of itself. That is the power and presence I give thanks for in this moment. And I give thanks that it chooses to express itself in, through, and as its creation. And I give thanks that it chooses to express itself in, through, and as every human being that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. How great it is. And I give thanks knowing that the world works for everyone when we are free. And we are free. We are born free. We are intended to be free. And we are free. And I claim that knowing for every single human being. In fact, I claim that knowing for all of life. Thank you, life. Thank you, spirit. A world that works for everyone. Ultimate freedom for all. It is done in the mind and heart of the one that brought us forth in the first place, so I simply turn it over and let it be in the law of that one life, that creative medium, and let it go and let it be. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.